There really is a hell of a lot of weird stuff in the world today. Mm-hmm. Weird is one word for it, just plain wrong is the other. I definitely have seen some weird stuff this week. That's why we've got a new section called Weird Stuff We've Seen This Week. Tina, what was the weirdest thing you saw this week?
What was the weirdest? Oh my God. Weirdest and loveliest. The mom at Luton Airport who was like a full-blown children entertainer for her two very tiny kids
on the flight
from 5 in the morning.
We were down there at 5, yeah,
till around 9 o'clock. Not one time
did she break
character.
She didn't at any point go, okay now darling, mummy needs to drink a coffee, thank you.
She was incredible. Like, she was amazing. And like, did her kids deserve her? I'm not sure. Her little girl definitely deserved her. But the little boy, oh my God, I was like, your mom's amazing. Yeah. Be nicer.
The girl went to sleep. But yeah. The first we heard of this mom at the airport was her going, and I was like, what?
Yeah, what's happened? Were like,
everybody looked around and she goes, there's airplanes out the window. Yeah. And the little boy is like, oh, look at the big green one.
And then she
went on. Yeah, and she picked him up and flew him around the airport.
I was like, I loved her immediately.
It was five in the morning.
But then
and Dad was trying to tighten the lid on a bottle.
And we were so lucky because, as it happens, when we got on the plane, they were sitting behind us.
And you were the luckiest because you got to feel the shape of that child's feet in your back the whole way home.
I'm still wearing heat packs.
Yeah.
But they were so cute. I couldn't be upset with them. They were so cute.
At a certain point, though.
Oh, no, I couldn't.
She was louder than the kids.
Yes. I just felt for her because she was trying so hard. She was sitting in the middle of the madness. Dad was over on his own row. Dad is living his own life. I was like,
on Mother's Day weekend, on International Women's Day.
International Women's Day, yeah.
It does raise a question though, right? If you're taking your kids to the airport, I said to you on the plane, the mistake that I would think she's made, not that everybody's making mistakes, but the oversight was not preparing the kids for when we're on the plane, everybody's going to be really tired. So we have to be quiet as mice.
It was very obvious that the kids didn't know what was happening or how long the plane was going to take and that they couldn't get off the plane
in the air.
Like, the little guy started demanding to be let off the plane, like screaming at,
I want to get off this plane.
Yeah.
I turned around to him and said, we all do, buddy.
Yeah, you didn't. You, in your head, with your eyes.
With my eyes, yeah.
But it was very clear that, well, full respect for this mom, I was so impressed by her the whole time. Her day would have been a lot easier if she had gone through what's happening next.
We're gonna sleep on the
plane. Or even just in a little visual schedule that she could whip out and go, remember I told you, this is what's happening now, this is what's happening next.
But at the same time, like, we're probably only thinking about ourselves here because those kids were happy as Larry.
Well, the little boy wasn't, Charlotte.
He'd been entertained by children's entertainer for three hours.
And like, he was screaming and shouting so much that I was like, your mom's amazing. Like, she literally couldn't be doing more for you.
Yeah.
But she's obviously so amazing all the time that he was just used to her amazingness.
Did you know what the weirdest thing for me was this week?
Oh, sorry. I was about to ask.
Sitting in Chekhov's Cafe, delicious cafe in Navan. Absolutely. Totally recommend this place if you're ever passing through Navan, which nobody does anymore. But if you find yourself in Navan,
which we seem to do a lot of our week.
Love Navan. I got papped.
You did.
While I was eating my breakfast, a man came to the window.
A fully grown man, maybe in his 50s.
And didn't ask to take my photo, indicated to me, I'm going to take your photo now.
While you're
eating your breakfast.
Like, I'm so horrified by what that photo must look like. Because
for you personally.
Yeah, because food fell out of my mouth at going, what the fuck are you taking a picture of us for? And then you were like, what the fuck is happening, face? And then he just ran away.
And he ran off.
He wasn't a kid. Like,
that's definitely top of the tree weird. You know, kids being mental on flights, not weird at all.
No, that was weird.
It was weird to see a mom who was so committed to entertaining her kids.
Amazing.
She was brilliant. All hats off to her. No criticism.
And I mean, there was beautiful moments. Like, she had moments where her little girl would go, mommy, I love you the most in the world. And I was like, of course you do. Your mother's bloody amazing. But the son had a lot of catching up to do.
But that guy who took the photo of me while I was eating my breakfast without my consent.
What for? That's what I kept thinking. Is that for the wank bank or something? Is that for his wank bank? I don't know. I was like, all I can think is that can't have been a good photo of me. Food was falling out my mouth. I was like, what the hell is happening?
We've got other weird stuff. Weird stuff we saw this week.
Before I forget, I gotta say a shout out to Teresa Kelly. Teresa Kelly is a lady that we were lucky enough to spend Friday night with in Shepherd's Bush. And she listens to podcasts every week. And I owe her a big apology. Obviously, our podcast is late this week. And she was saying that she makes time every Monday to listen to it. And I was so grateful that there's somebody out there who every Monday religiously listens to our pod. And I'm But she was so amazing. And she's so lovely. And I mean, a big shout out, Teresa. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your support.
Shout out to everybody who came out to the shows. It's been the maddest 2 weeks of the tour. That is really the main reason for the delay in putting this out.
We just had no time.
We were absolutely wiped at the end of that period. And there was no point in putting it out and risking our health. This is a self-care podcast at the end of the day. This is about understanding that there's no right or wrong way of doing this.
Don't you think, Charlotte?
We're all muddling through.
Yeah. Don't you think, though, that this is why it's so hard for comedians to actually give their time to charity gigs? Because on Thursday night, we flew into London to do a massive charity event for the London Irish Centre and Kidney Care UK.
Shout out to Rob Broderick.
Oh, my God. Rob Broderick, my favourite person.
Just these, please. Vittorio Angeloni. Yeah. All of the people that came and gave up their time for free.
And gave up their time for a very long time. Mm. I wasn't expecting how long that night was going to go on for.
I was.
Like, honestly, we raised a lot of money, a lot of recognition for charities. The Kidney Care UK got loads of sign-ups for donor cards.
But you could see why people would go no.
But I was like, no wonder these comedians, it's so hard to get comedians to do this, because it's such.
Yeah, the next day I felt like I'd been run over by a truck.
And we had to go do Shepherd's Bush the next day, so it was hard.
It was great. And, you know, I'll be running the London Marathon for Kidney Care UK. And thanks to that night, I've met my target of fundraising and we're hoping to exceed it by even more. The link is in the info here if you'd like to support me running the London Marathon for Kidney Care UK. Tina, we got to get to this episode. We got so many great questions. Hi, Tina and Jared. I'm a weekly listener and can't wait to see you in the Civic Theatre in Tala. I have a 14-year-old daughter and I should have listened to the podcast on Monday and then heard you discussing anxiety with that little 6-year-old kid. You may remember that episode. If you haven't listened to that and this is a subject that interests you, go back and listen to that. I think it's so sad that our kids are more and more anxious in this day and age. That is, I mean, it's a bloody tragedy.
Well, it's a massive problem for
what we're dealing with and the amount of emails on this subject. So she says, I've had a really tough few weeks with my daughter refusing to go to school. Firstly, not feeling well, not wanting to go to school around TOTM. What's that?
Time of the month.
Okay. And it's been getting worse the last few months. This is combined with extreme anxiety with thoughts of presenting her work in front of her class
and
teachers, which is part of the CBA program for Junior Cert. Last year, she refused and pulled out of her dance class as they were putting on a show in the Civic, and she has major stage fright, and I'm petrified that this will be a pattern for the rest of her life if we don't help, but put some sort of tools in her box to help her deal with these. Mm-hmm. There is a pattern. As a teenager, I had the same fears, but we didn't call it anxiety in the 90s. So I was put in touch with the following resources by the school, who've been amazing this week. And I haven't bought these books yet, but I have ordered them. There are 3 books from an author called Katie O'Donoghue. We'll link these in the info as well. To help children and teenagers deal with worry, fears and anxiety. And I only watched these this week after meeting with the school. Katie O'Donoghue, just to get that name out there again in case you missed it, Katie O'Donoghue art.com. And there is a video of a podcast she did around one of her books, which might be of interest to you guys. Helping Your Child Cope with Anxiety, the ISPCC, with author Katie O'Donoghue is what you need to Google there. This is also a free online course, this writer says, called Space from Anxiety, which is a parent which a parent can give the referral. My daughter's yearhead has started this with her own teenage son and recommended to me, as it has helped her deal with her own anxieties, which has helped her better deal with her son's struggles.
This is incredibly helpful, because I get emails in after every episode, whenever we touch on anxiety, from people wanting to help other parents. And this is incredibly kind that she's done this.
So the ISPCC's encourages a use of free space from anxiety program. There are different courses for different age groups, and it does go from age 5 onwards. How cool is this?
Mm-hmm.
So our favorite resource and a previous sponsor of Irish Man Abroad, Jigsaw, she's been in touch there, and I've been in contact with them, she says, which currently, unfortunately, has a 9-week waiting list. Even though I am on the list, I needed something now to help my daughter navigate her feelings.
Yeah.
She's still my baby, no matter what age she is. And it's so hard as a mum to see her put herself through this internal torture. Even printing off some of the resources from the ISPCC has got us getting her back to school on Monday. How unbelievably cool is that?
Yeah, that's amazing.
I'm just praying she goes in the doors on Monday. I want to thank you for your podcast, as you will never know how valuable it is, and it has helped with a number of issues in my house. I tell everyone about it when issues with our kids come up, and you always come up as a great resource. Hope this helps more parents, as there is not enough awareness on available resources about anxiety before it becomes a bigger issue. Thanks again.
She's incredible.
Well, thank you for the email.
That's incredibly kind, but as in, so helpful to others. What a generous email.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's hard to know where to turn when you're dealing with stuff like this. And very scary that there's now a 9-week waiting list for Jigsaw.
And also, we will have to get these books ourselves.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
We'll have them and include them in the show from here on. Because if you think you're the only person going through this with your kid, it comes in so many, it's such a spectrum of different types, shapes and sizes of anxiety that it'd be nearly less common to have a kid that is anxiety free.
Yeah, I know. I always say this, and Jared's like, you can't blame the pandemic on everything, but our kids were told to be afraid of the world for nearly 2 years. There's no way they're going to not have anxiety after that.
And also then they go back in having not had time together. Like, I always say this about how if somebody in your work, in your office, went away for 6 months traveling, they always came back a bit different. I mean, we had such a long period where we didn't interact face to face with each other.
Yes.
If we weren't different to the other side of that, it'd be fucking weird.
And also, kids came back and they're not really interacting face to face.
No.
They have their lunch breaks and they're on their phones the whole time.
Well, Cillian Murphy's on the cover of the Irish Times yesterday.
Oh, yes. And this is so exciting.
For two stories.
Yeah.
Two stories. Not the one that you're all thinking about, but the other one that he is involved in was this research at Galway University, which is now being integrated into the transition year curriculum in Ireland around teaching kids empathy.
Isn't that incredible?
Unbelievable.
And it's something we have noticed. We have noticed that kids
are lacking in it.
I don't know why I did that.
I have no idea. Tina needed to move her bag there.
I'm so sorry. But clever and so incredibly helpful to our children to have something like that available to them.
Well, what the research found at Galway University was that when they took 1,500 kids and they tried to model and show it an awareness for others, that you would see it in them, in their behaviours from that point forward.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's exactly what you've always been harping on about.
I do harp on about it. I do. But grace and courtesy is part of the Montessori method because Maria Montessori observed that we don't naturally do these things. And if you want your child to be kind and thoughtful and all these beautiful things, you gotta tell them,
show them.
Model it because they don't know how to do it off their own bat. Some, the rare child, does, but most people need to be taught it just the same way as you need to teach maths.
Man, it's a crazy time to be teaching kids empathy at school.
But if more kids were taught empathy, you know, we wouldn't have so many issues at all. Like, yeah. I mean, we like our kid, like we love our kid. But the thing that we get the most when we go to parent teacher meetings and stuff is he's so kind. He's so thoughtful. It's amazing. And I'm like, yeah, because we really worked on that. Mm. Like, we're still having to work on that. It's really hard.
Well, there is another side to that as well.
Yeah, that he can be too kind. Far. Yeah, we went like, way too far for a while.
You gotta actually take care of your own shit too.
Yeah, it's a hard one to balance, yeah. For sure. Yeah. It is. But with this lady as well, I just wanted to say, because she's on the waiting list and everything, there is another option in Ireland. I'm not sure where she lives. She said, Tala, there is an amazing lady whose name I can never pronounce. Jen
Trechik.
Yeah, she runs Way Ahead Therapy.
Easily Googleable.
She's amazing. She's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, she's been on the show.
She used to work with Jigsaw.
Yeah.
I'm sad for this lady that she doesn't have a Jigsaw in her school. I mean, how incredibly privileged are we? Mm-hmm. We actually have Jigsaw in our school.
In the school.
But that might be another place to go. I also think that it's such a lucky time to be a girl, because now we have mothers who take time of the month seriously. You are so brilliant to be incorporating the fact that my daughter is her period. You know, this is not her. You know, we need to help her manage who she is around this time of the month. I'm 42 years old. I'm still struggling to manage myself on the days before and during my period. Jarlett's trying very hard not to agree here. But it's so not fair how you can be. Like, I find that my worst thing is I am quick to be irrational.
No.
Jarlett. Or very quick to be very angry about something that I normally wouldn't give a shit about. I'll just be like furious. And I'll know. I'll be like, Tina, you're just getting your period. But it's not enough for me to be able to say that then I won't feel this way, because I'm still feeling this at a heightened thing. And I read somewhere that, you know, some women are using this as their power. But I can't get myself to do that, because I can't access it that way, because I'm just so pissed off every time I have my period.
It isn't taught to boys this
yeah,
way.
That, to how to understand what yeah, girls are going through.
Like,
yeah.
What you're taught as a boy is, she's going to be irrational, no. Mm. She's going to be an absolute no. It's a avoid the storm. Batten down the hatches. You're taught all kinds of mad stuff, and it is in hushed tones.
Not so much anymore.
I am not there, so I don't know how it's being taught.
Well, I've definitely made it my business that Mikey would always be considerate, but he still rolls his eyes and asks me questions like, are you getting your period?
I can't believe that he's comfortable enough asking that, because that question was like lighting the touch paper.
Yeah.
You were due never to ask that question.
I want this mom to keep in touch with us and let us know if your daughter did go in. School refusal is terrifying, especially when they're teenagers and you can't actually persuade them to go in. I do think that we take for granted, though, that something to work towards for the end of her school year might be just what she needs to focus all this energy towards.
Yeah.
She might just need an aim. She might need something to tunnel vision towards.
The only thing I would say about that, right, is that if that goal or that aim is like something that like she desperately wants, let's say it's a new phone, then when she's failing, wouldn't that provide more pressure upon her to be like, and now I fucked up my chance of getting the new iPhone? I don't know.
Well, I guess you keep the criteria for achieving it loose. So that you can hopefully make it achievable.
The bar is nice and low.
Also, in terms of her taking part in things, I think perhaps, you know, get the school on board and that she can take part in these activities, but she doesn't have to do the end thing of presenting or being on the stage in her dance group, because right now that's not something she wants to do. So why force these kids to do that? I would have died if I was made to do a presentation in school.
Would you?
I would have died.
I loved
them. See, you loved that. That would have been a nightmare to me.
I still love taking the piss in them.
Oh my God, I would have died. I mean, the fact that kids are having to do that now, fuck that. How many tutorials did I miss in UCD on the day I was supposed to present to president?
I was not there. You'd find in the bar going, didn't make it.
Yeah, I was not there. I was like, there's no way
you're
making
me do that. And it all worked out. Very careful there to say it all worked out, because like Tina, it hasn't worked out.
Yeah, I still would never do it.
You're still like you're still coping with your anxiety, like let's be honest. But I do, when I say it all worked out, Like, here you are, a hit podcaster.
Who refuses to do live shows.
Who refuses to do live shows, but look, then that's your bar, that's your limit. It's the thing with somebody like that, that girl, that, like, she's got to understand that, yeah, there are people moving through the world still working with their anxiety, just like Joe Biden still working with his stutter.
Yeah, it's poor old Joe Biden.
We're still working. We've all got our bag.
Yeah.
And we cope with the backpack of stuff.
Yeah.
I want to bring up, usually you have one more thing to say there.
I was just going to say, actually, it just came to me there, that for me, the little wins with my anxiety or shyness is when I do push through. Like, any time I actually do say, okay, I'll come on the radio. Mm. When I get through it, I'm so happy with myself.
She is buzzing off her tits.
I'm so proud that I did it. And that's a nice win. That's a nice feeling. Win. But then again, I do say no to a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, but it's like last week when we were talking about teaching kids resilience.
Mm.
It's weird to kind of put them in those positions over and over again, even on a small scale, the push through. You did that. Now you did this. And
yeah, pushing onwards. Through. Yeah, but it's hard. It's like, does it help them if it's not a necessity? Like, why are you making them do something they don't have to?
In the category of weird shit I saw this week, I saw a kid with no anxiety who was about 3 years old. So when we were in, where were we? Westport.
Oh, yeah.
Mikey and I get up for an early swim the day after the show. And there was a kiddies swim class taking place. And all the kiddies were being shepherded from the pool. And then there was one little breakaway renegade kid who was like, I ain't leaving this pool.
I like swimming.
And I mean, he was running so fast around the pool. And I was looking at Mikey. Mikey's looking at me going, he's going to clatter himself because so slippy.
And both of you aren't good at watching kids do dangerous
Tina,
things.
We're in the pool. How the hell would we stop him? He was about to crack his head off the pavement.
Oh my God.
And he runs the length of the pool and cannonballs into the jacuzzi.
Oh my God.
Which is scalding hot. Like, he had to get
into the jacuzzi. That's into so the jacuzzi. Dangerous.
16-year-olds and upwards. Mikey was posing as a 16-year-old.
Yeah, he gets away with it now.
He gets away
Mikey
with it
was
now.
Mistaken for Charlotte at the weekend.
That's another weird...
Something he wasn't happy
he
about.
He was not happy about that. A Mayo man stopped him and went, hey, stop taking piss out of Mayo people. And Mikey was like, that's my dad. Oh my God. I'm not in my 40s.
Yeah, he was not happy.
This kid cannonballs into the jacuzzi, right? Water goes everywhere. You can see on his face, he was not expecting it to be that hot.
Oh, no.
The bubbles start going off in the jacuzzi because it's got a sensor. It knows when somebody's in there.
God.
And I mean, he's now in, like...
Where's the mom?
Rolling rapids. The mom is in her best of the best clothes.
Because it's
Mother's
Day.
Trying to drag him out. Yeah, it's Mother's Day.
The poor woman.
So now she's wet up to her knees. Her brand new jeans are completely ruined. And she's pulling him out by the arm. And, you know, trying not to dislocate his arm in the process. And he's laughing his head off.
Oh my God.
He gets out. And the lifeguard is coming over. And he breaks loose again and jumps into the pool.
I'm so glad I wasn't here for this.
Like, you're literally watching this unfold like it's a sitcom. There's got this dividing rope in between the kind of shallowy corner where the kiddies were doing their swimming.
Oh my goodness.
And the rest of the pool. And I mean it, he gets tangled in the rope.
Oh, no, Jar, that's too far.
And he is kicking and kicking and kicking, and he's going...
Why is the mom not jumping in, or the lifeguard?
The lifeguard is kind of panicked. She's just in the spot the way you would when your mother was choking in the kitchen. Tina's mother, Tina's fully trained in first aid, if ever you need her.
A good few times.
And her mother was choking in the kitchen, and I came in to find Tina using... all of her first aid skills to shout, she is choking.
I was running around.
She was running around the island.
Yeah.
Going, she is choking. You don't understand. She is choking. I'm like, why are you not doing anything about it?
That was
it's like the time Mikey fell out of the high chair.
Oh, don't bring that up. Don't bring that up.
And Tina was like, he fell out. I was like, pick him up.
I couldn't. I couldn't.
The lifeguard was frozen and so was the mom. And I went, do you want a hand? And they were like, yeah. So it's always the cutest one when you pick up a tiny little kid and you realize he weighs the same as a basketball.
I know.
He's so light and his little arm bands on.
Did he not freak out at a stranger picking him up?
Tina, his life was flashing before his eyes. As far as he was concerned, the hands of God reached down and saved him from the water. And I just handed him out, and that was it. He wasn't going to jump in the pool again. had to learn the hard way. Oh my God. No anxiety whatsoever there.
It was so funny though when you were telling me that. It was Mikey who said, and that was that poor woman's Mother's Day.
But we've got to talk about Mother's Day in a minute, because some of the stuff you see on Mother's Day is truly hilarious. Funny.
All those only dads.
All these dads out taking care of their kids, because the one thing they want the most is a bit of time to themselves. Yeah. Please. Hi, Tina and Jarlath. I'm struggling so much with my son wetting the bed. He's seven in July. And I've cut out any drinks after a certain time. Right, that's often. Isn't it amazing that that's often?
Yeah, but I'm not mad on that one, but I get why people have to do it.
I'm encouraging and prompting going to the toilet as much as I can before bed. Tried waking him during the night. Nothing seems to be working or helping. I don't want to go back to dry nights. That's the pull-ups, I guess, as it's making him sore. Any advice would be great. I'm so tired. I need help. Thoughts and prayers to all of the parents who are relating hard to this. I was bollocks tired this weekend, and it completely reminded me of exactly how much you cannot get your head straight when you're that tired.
No, and how much you're kind of coasting when you have a baby. Because you're so floating around. You're not really awake. You're not ever really asleep.
Yeah, one coffee to the next.
Yeah, and you're not making great decisions or life choices, I don't think, at that time.
Yeah, I feel like it's like you're in a haze.
Yeah, like because you know what? We're all trying so hard to be there for our kids. And that's a full-on hard job. Mm. And it the only thing that gets easier about it is that you get a little bit of your sleep back. Mm. Toileting, it's very old, in my opinion, obviously, for him to be still wetting the bed.
Yeah, she knows that.
And it's a real struggle because you don't want to shame them. You don't want him to feel weird or worse about it. He's already feeling bad. Mm. No kids ever prided themselves for this. It's a problem that they want help with. They just don't know how to stop it.
Well, I love what you say before you get into it. You always say, reassuring people that this is going to work out. Like
Of course.
It
will work out. It's just trying to figure out, well, is there an issue there? Like I'm always saying that, you know, when it comes to things with the bladder, there's no harm bringing them to the doctor because it might be out of their control.
Like what? What would that be?
You know, maybe they have a slight kidney infection. Oh, you know, maybe.
Never even think of it, do you?
Yeah, maybe they just, there's something stopping them from being able to hold, or sometimes children don't actually feel when they need to go to the toilet. So it is actually happening as a surprise to them too. And then as a parent, you feel awful because you're like, oh my God, I was so upset with them and it was completely out of their control. Yeah. So I think bringing them to a doctor is no harm. Also, best thing about bringing them to a doctor is another person, grown up, will say, you're not supposed to wee in your bed. Mm. You're supposed to go to the toilet.
Because we definitely knew a kid that was just doing it out of laziness. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And he was like, it's too far to walk.
A few kids like that who are just like, it's warm here.
We're not accusing your kid of being a
lazy. No, of course not. But we definitely have seen that. But yeah, no, I always think I have also equally seen the kids who actually have an issue and they just need to go to the doctor and they needed a tiny antibiotic for a little while.
Wow.
But also.
And then done.
We had a mom get in touch at the very start of our podcasting and it was the alarm mattress that helped for her.
Explain how that works. He says yawning in sympathy with his mom.
Well, it...
It's got a water sensor in it, is it?
I can't... It's been so long. It just popped into my head because I was trying to remember what we did. But I think what happens is...
While you think about it.
What happens is you time the mattress and it wakes the kid up for them to know to go check. Oh no, it actually goes off when they feel the wee starting.
Then
so that the kid knows to jump out of the bed and get the rest of the wee in the toilet.
Oh my God, there's heaps of these.
Yeah.
Bed wetting alarms.
Yes.
That you can get. And there's even a wristwatch they can wear.
Yeah. There's loads of gadgets now.
Like the blanket itself is quite expensive. I'm looking at €168.
Yes.
But there's cheaper alternatives available. Right on Amazon, the dry easy bed wetting alarm for €51. But I would imagine that this mom's willing to try anything.
Yeah, and if she is, what I have to say is if you're willing to try anything, please try this first. Give yourself a whole week of consistently doing this one thing each night. Because sometimes parents think they've tried everything, but they haven't tried anything consistently as a plan. And what you want to get into your child is a pattern of behavior, and that can't be established without you showing them the way. Okay, so what I'm saying is, you're already tired, but you might get your sleep back if you go through this. Okay. So what you're going to do is, you're going to set your alarm. You're going to pop them on the toilet before bed, and you're going to explain to them that if you feel like you need to do a wee in the toilet, you've got to get out of bed. You need to arm that kid with a flashlight. That always works. That has helped. Or a little light they can turn on beside their bed. They are afraid of the dark. It doesn't matter how brave you think your kid is, they're afraid. We're afraid of the dark, okay? Then set your own alarm, and I'm talking every 2 to 3 hours, until you establish the pattern yourself. When you can, you'll get a tell for when your child is most likely to need to go toilet. You get that kid out of the bed and you tell him very gently, it's time to check if you need a wee. You don't talk about anything else. You are just focusing on wee. Don't make it fun. This is business time. Pop them on the toilet, set a timer, put on the tap. If they do a wee, you're amazing. You did your wee in the toilet. So mommy loves you so much. Get back into bed. If they've done the wee, I don't know if you need to check them again during the night, but that's up to you. I don't know what.
Putting on the tap is a real life hack.
Yeah, the tap is.
Tina taught me that one. The running water.
Yeah, well, I always remember hating when I was in hospital, like a long time ago. I'd had some operation, I don't know what, but I couldn't get out of the bed to use the toilet and I really needed to wee. And this really mean nurse put a bedpan in, and I was like, I'm absolutely not weeing in that, in the bed, into a bedpan. And she turned on the tap, and I hadn't.
No option.
No option. I felt so humiliated.
But look, she gave you something that you're now using professionally.
Yeah, but I mean,
your podcasting capacity.
It was so, but she was so mean about it. Was so mean.
Like, what'd you say about that?
Yeah, I was like, fuck's sake.
That's the voice I'm giving her. What'd you say about that?
Yeah.
She's from Maffley.
But yeah, okay, so here's what I'm saying. If that works, great. But that doesn't mean give up the next night. You have to consistently do this routine for the whole week.
Right.
So that your child then, you're retraining your child's clock. You're retraining your child's bladder. And you're teaching them when to wake, how to wake up, when to do their wee. You have to be consistent. If that doesn't work, I'm so sorry. I think you need to go to the doctor maybe. But yeah,
come back to us.
Yeah, come back.
If that doesn't work, come back to us.
Or get the alarm. But I think the easiest price-free option is consistently waking them up, popping them on the toilet, not interacting with them, only toilet talk, into bed. I love you so much. Go to sleep. Come back. And wake them again.
And while it will not help your tiredness right now.
No, you will eventually get your.
Yeah.
But it's all about consistency.
The biggest parenting news story this week is Kate Middleton's ability to use Photoshop on her phone. And what is going on with Kate? And I'm sorry, but does this make it me a conspiracy theorist if I believe that, having read Harry's book, I understand that all of the royals are in competition with each other for column inches? Because the more you get, the more interest there is in you, the more you get paid. Nobody gave two flips about Kate. And suddenly, some PR genius came in and said, what we're going to do, Kate, is build a little bit of mystery around you. Now, the mystery has gone out of control. And probably they're regretting taking this path. But on the other hand, would we be talking about Kate if it wasn't suggested that she's gone missing? And now this photo with these unnecessary bits of manipulation are done to it. Like, I couldn't give two flips.
Yes, and I get that. I get that. And I also believe that your theory might be right. It could be correct. But there's a part of me who's a mother and a wife who thinks, this lady has been through a lot. And has she actually had to go somewhere for her mental health, which is what people are suggesting? Because her husband seems like a jerk. Am I allowed to say this stuff? And he seems
but
to be.
So does yours.
You're not a jerk. You're lovely. But he's been openly cheating on her.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. But like, I mean, I just feel awful for her. Like, she's shrinking in front of us. And everyone kind of rewards her for how tiny she's getting. It's obvious that that's not healthy for anyone to be that skinny. This poor woman needs support. I just hope that it is really silly and it's just a stupid photo edit and that she's really just at home recovering and that everyone else should just mind their flipping business. But there's a part of me that worries, has this woman actually been through a trauma, and is she actually away somewhere trying to recover mentally? Because,
and here's always been my take, right, that if you are two young lads whose mother dies because the media was chasing her,
yeah,
they eventually chased her to her death, from that point forward, leave them the fuck alone.
Leave them alone. Leave them alone.
But the difficulty is, like I said at the start, that they're earning their money from and the
there's been
attention
proof they that they do court the press.
They do.
And but yeah, there's just something that I don't feel right about, because like people are laughing about it and stuff, and then other people aren't. Other people are taking it super
biggest
seriously.
Biggest victim in all of this?
Who?
Me.
You.
Because I don't want to have to talk about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I know. That's very funny.
Question number three, our final question of the day. Come on over to patreon.com if you're not already there to hear the extra chunk of material this week. We're going to talk all things Mother's Day.
Mother's Day
didn't go great for you. We might have some tips and hints over there to make the next one a little bit better, particularly for the lads.
Yeah.
Morning, Tina and Jareth. I love your podcast so much. Please don't ever stop making it. Do you know how I can help my one-year-old with his toileting? He struggles to pass his stool.
Aww.
He often starts screaming, crying. Need ideas for more fiber foods and anything to help him let it go.
That's
let
really...
Let it go.
This is
not a funny
No, that's
email.
Actually really tricky because he's only one. And it's very hard to converse with a one-year-old or calm them down or talk them around why we have to poo. That's a real serious situation and it can become really bad.
Is the doctor the first port of call?
Yeah, because you might just need a tiny baby laxative that you can give him. What normally has happened here is that there has been a poo that's been very hard and very sore.
God.
And the baby attaches a trauma to every time he feels like he needs to do his bowel movement.
No, I've been there post-operation.
Yeah.
I had a very serious incident.
After the kidney. After your appendix. Let's not bring that up. I'm still traumatized by you telling me.
It was actually a wisdom tooth.
Oh.
And, you know, if you've been through this, this is not fun.
No.
But this is actually, like, what this kid's going through is legit. They're not being over the top.
No, they're also one-year-olds, so, I mean, they can't explain themselves at all.
They also don't have the abdominal strength, diaphragm needed.
They're also only being introduced to food, so it's hard for this mom to actually cater the diet around them. But I would definitely say raisins are always good.
Raisins?
Yeah, raisins are great for getting kids to go.
Right.
And kids tend to like them. Any kind of fruits, but I guess you can't overdo the fruits either. Avoid bananas for a while until...
Really? Are bananas a problem?
Bananas can keep you bound up. Too many bananas here and you're in trouble later that day.
Right. Foods to help bowel movements, I'm Googling. Well, I'm sure she's had the sense to do this already.
Yeah, but it is hard when you've got a one-year-old because they are only starting to eat foods and they probably won't eat that many foods at all.
There's actually books on this subject.
Oh, yeah, it's a huge problem. But at one-year-old, it's very hard to help them. You're not able to converse with them. You're not able to... You can actually read them books.
Hmm.
Everybody poos. Who's in the loo? But it's just not going to have the same... impact it would on a 2, 3, 4 year old.
And you can also get fiber supplements that come as jellies.
Yeah, I'm not sure they would be suitable for a 1 year old. I would be shocked by that.
But Tina, Peppa Pig is on bottle.
Yeah, so?
It's got to be okay. Peppa's involved.
I think don't take any supplements until you've gone to a doctor. Because, you know, there could be another reason why your child can't pass their stool. We have to take those things seriously. But also, sometimes it can, this is very controversial now, I know Catherine Ryan would agree with me, if your child is struggling to poo, I would actually pop them on a potty, hold their hand, put on the telly, just rub their hand, put some music on, get them relaxed, the poo needs to come out, it will come out when they're relaxed.
Yeah.
They're tensing up. They're keeping it in there.
Yeah, right. So that is that, like, I know that sounds so straightforward, but I've watched you do that.
And when they're one as well, I mean, they still are wearing the nappy, so the chances are that poo is going to come out in their sleep, and that won't be such a big problem. It's not like you've toilet trained them already.
Yeah.
But that child is in pain. Yeah. They're also tensing up, which means they're probably miserable. They're probably crying more than they need to cry. They definitely need some help, but it is tricky. That is a tricky age to help with because you can't talk to them really. Yeah.
Pears, they're saying. Pears, apples.
Yeah, applesauce.
Raspberries, chia seeds, good luck.
Yeah.
Pitted prunes. Oh, yeah, because kids love them.
Well, you can liquidize the prunes.
Well, all of these are suggesting you mush them up.
Yeah, you can liquidize.
Oat bran. Quarter cup of oat bran. I don't know what you would do that. Mix that with vanilla yogurt.
I always find it really annoying, these blogs and stuff you're looking up right now. They make these grandiose suggestions of food to give your one-year-olds. Like they forget that most one-year-olds won't just eat like a French stick.
Yeah, like one of the suggestions here is avocado.
Yeah, well, to be fair, most kids love that.
Do they? Okay. Yeah. So avocados.
It's just expensive.
Mixed into a mango smoothie.
Yeah, a lot of parents can't afford avocado. Avocado is expensive, especially when half it's going to land on the floor.
Just get them in the local Waitrose.
Yeah. Raisins, I think, are the go-to. And the pear, mushy apple definitely will help. Also a little, I don't know if you can give a one-year-old hot drinks. I don't think you can.
Definitely a cup of coffee, like.
No, you know,
always
like
works for
warm,
me.
Sugary water. But I just think you need to bring your child to the doctor because
there is help here. The HSC website. So most of the time you will actually find help with your local, if you've got an insurance provider or like Tina, like you said, get down to the local GP.
Yeah.
They may be able to help.
But well, they'll know what to feel for. And they'll know what's happening there. They'll also help you with doing things like tummy massages. Really, what you need to focus on is your baby has had a time that they remember that the poo hurt to come out. So now they don't want to have that feeling again. So you need to help them relax and get to a more zen place when it comes to their poo.
And get some beans into them.
Be there for them. Hold their hand. They're not going to want you to hold their hand forever. So just hold their hand, rub their hand, rub their tummy, get them chilled out, be with them. I mean, it's a very, very common problem, but this baby is very young, so I would definitely bring it to a doctor.
As a man who's had a lot of digestive issues over the year, including an immune thing that's related to it, this is no crack, and I fully get it. If you have something similar, email us in honeyyourrootingourkid@gmail.com. Maybe you've got the answer. I always say this, we throw it out there. They're like, maybe you've lived through this and you found the thing that works. Get in touch with us.
Yeah, well, my reason though, Gerald, for pushing the doctor thing is if your child is in this massive developmental stage, if they're focusing all their energy and holding their poo in, they're missing out on other stuff. So,
Well, we've had a really ridiculous couple of weeks. Apologies again for the podcast being late. Come over to patreon.com/Irishmanabroad. Start enjoying full-size episodes. Go back, enjoy the full-size back catalogue. Mm-hmm. And our big announcement. I'm coming to America. I put on one show in Boston because people in Boston were very adamant on Instagram, we need you to come to Boston. Put on one show, that sold out in 24 hours. Yeah, put on another one, that one's now sold out. So we've added a third matinee show specifically for the
parents.
All
on the same day, which Charlotte thinks is perfectly good planning.
Three shows in a
row.
Why not?
6 hours of comedy
Comedy. No, the show isn't that long. According to them, the show starts at 4, finishes at 5:30. So you can give the kids to whoever you can, and then you can go out for a bite to eat afterwards. Boston, I am coming. Chicago, we're announcing those dates.
And New York.
This week. And New York will also make an appearance. It's all going to be in or around the first fall, the Easter, the Halloween break. So please go to jigzer.com/gigs for all the links for all the tour dates coming up, because of course there is only one chance to see this show in Dublin before it goes away forever, and that's at the 3 Olympia Theatre on May 30th and 31st. Dean, thank you so much for this episode as always.
Thank you, Gerald. I love you.